good and see how we do. Double vision, little series. We'll conclude that today, next Sunday morning, to not bore you. I want you to stay for both. There'll be two different messages, and you'll just learn more from the Bible and be more encouraged is the plan. Amen. Double vision, seeing double through trouble. Let's roll, Raj. Gave this message in the first hour. I finished up a series in the book of Ruth with them, and I could have had one more message, but I wanted the whole church to hear this message today, not just part of it. I want the whole church to hear this. Very important for us. It's an incredible scripture, incredible passage. It's a real story, and it can change people's lives. It can change your life, but it could change how you look at other folk. Amen? So let's go with the message. Turning trouble into what? Help me now. Turning trouble into what? And if it's your first time, we talk like this, and it'll be good. You just keep talking. You're going to learn today. Amen? Come on. If you listen, you're going to get something today. Turning trouble into opportunity. And Roger, I'm going to ask you to push me some because I'm a little slow in that other one. That's my fault, so you just keep pushing me. John 4:4, John chapter 4 is the story, and we're going to look at the whole thing today. We're going to go from the beginning to the end of this chapter. So go ahead. Get ready to park it. We ain't going to be here too long, but it's going to be a while. All right? Y'all ready? Yes or no? Here we go. Jesus said to his disciples, we have to go through Samaria. It's happening. And you might think, well, that's no big deal. You know, some places in America you don't want to drive through, say. Maybe some areas that are bad. You don't want to go. You don't want to go after dark. Isn't that true? Yes or no? Jesus said we must needs go through Samaria. No Jew would dare go through Samaria. And you're going to learn. Now today you've learned, you've seen this passage before. Some of you are going to say, I knew that. But you're going to learn stuff you never knew today. Why? Because I learned stuff I never knew. If I've been doing this all these years, I got a feeling you're going to learn something too. Okay? So, no Jew would dare go through Samaria. Jesus begged to what? Okay? Some people just see trouble. And they don't see the opportunity. Oh, it's just too much trouble. Okay? And they don't see there's opportunity. Okay? And you're going to keep hearing that throughout this message. But let's go with the Bible and see what we can learn from this passage today. Turning trouble into opportunity. Verse 5. So we're going to Samaria, boys. We don't want to go. Hush your mouth. We're going. We don't go there. You do now. You're with me. Okay? You ever told your kids that before? Wait it, hush. I can see Jesus. Jesus was a man. I mean, we try to make him like he didn't talk regular. He did. Okay? He would have got a little flack from them. That's where we're going. Why? Because I said so and because we have to. Hush. Then he came to a city. Then comes Jesus and all of them to a city in Samaria, which is called what? Sychar. Say Sychar. Sychar. It was near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now, if you were here last week, we talked about Joseph, remember? Last week how he was steady through trouble. So even though this is a place Jews don't go, this was very much part of the Jewish people. This was an area that Jacob actually gave this area to Joseph. But they didn't go there anymore. Now, Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, he sat down by the well. He was wore out. Okay, this is desert area. And it was about the sixth hour. What does that mean? It was straight up 12 o'clock noon. Just like it is here in Florida, but worse because it's desert. And so he's hot, man. It's just hot. And he's hot. He's sitting down by the well. He's wore out. And it's just normal so far. But this is where it changes. There comes a woman of where? Yeah, now help me now. A woman of Samaria came to the well to draw water. And Jesus said unto her, give me a drink. For his disciples, very important, say that with me. For his disciples were gone away unto the what? To buy some meat, some victuals. And they were going to the city of Sychar. So they're not there, it's just Jesus. And he says, give me a drink. Verse 9, then says the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that you, this woman speaks to Jesus, how is it that you, being a Jew, ask drink of me? I am a woman of Samaria. Say this last part with me. For the Jews have no what? The Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. How is it? Hey, I'm a woman. You're not supposed to be talking to me just because I'm a woman. That's number one. But bigger than that is, why are you talking? How is it that you're talking to me? I'm a Samaritan. And the Jews don't have anything to do with people like us. Are you feeling it so far? So let's learn a little bit. No Jew had dealings with the Samaritans. It wasn't just she said it. It's part of history. You can go back and read it in other things other than the Bible. Okay? Why? Why no dealings? Why Jacob gave this land to Joseph? What happened? Why don't y'all talk to those people? Why don't you care about those people? Why do you hate those people so much, man? What happened? Well, I'll tell you why. There was a whole lot of mess and a whole lot of trouble that had been going on between the Jews and the Samaritans for centuries now. And isn't that how we are sometimes? We let trouble keep us from seeing a person's value and the opportunity we can to have a relationship with other people. We're just like that, guys. This was deep. So let's go over a little history. Not a lot. I don't want to bore you to tears, but if you listen, it'll help you. Number one, where did this rift come from? Where did this hatred come from? Well, it started, say that with me, it started with what? Remember that. Remember that. Jealousy might be cute. It ain't cute. It started with jealousy. A little history about this rift. Judah and Ephraim were the two leading tribes in Israel. And they split. They split. Well, what does that have to do with anything? Well, Judah went to the south and it became the southern kingdom, and their capital was what? Jerusalem. Got it? Well, what about Ephraim? Ephraim went to the what? North and became the northern kingdom, and the capital was what? Samaria. Feeling it? Feeling the split? Number two, this jealousy, say this with me, led to what? It led to bitterness. And so often that is what jealousy will do. You jealous of somebody else? What somebody else has? Okay? Don't be surprised if you don't become a bitter old person. You hear me? Never thankful for nothing. You're always full of this mess. That's what happens. It happened with them. A little more history. We could go over so many things, but just to keep it brief, Assyria destroyed the northern kingdom. Assyria in 722, this is just part of history, destroyed the northern kingdom. Well, what happened? Well, in the northern kingdom, because the Assyrians moved in and more heathens, it led to the intermarrying with the who? With the Jews, and intermingling of the Jewish religion with heathen religions. Are you seeing that happen? Okay? Because the Assyrians came in and occupied them, it changed everything. So, it led to bitterness. And the true Jews, especially those in the south, say south, hated their half-breed race and hated their half-breed what? You feeling it? Okay? So this jealousy led to bitterness and it became what? It became hatred. Now, there's a lot more we could say. If you're saying, well, that doesn't sound too bad, it is bad. And we could say more and more and more, but we're not. An example, when you're reading your Bible and you'll miss it sometimes, when Nehemiah, when he rebuilt the temple in Jerusalem, he was opposed and harassed. Go read the book of Nehemiah and find out the two jokers that kept bothering him. Sanballat and Tobiah. Guess where they were from? Samaria. This has been going on and going on and going on. So much so, Sanballat in 409 B.C. and the Samaritans built their own temple in Samaria on Mount Gerizim. You might say, Clark, why are you saying that? Well, it's in our story today. You'll see it. It's part of history, by the way. Matter of fact, when the Jews got more freedom back in Jerusalem through the Maccabeans, it's not in your Bible, but it's part of history. The Maccabeans, revolution, whatever have you. Their general, in 128 B.C., they took armies up to where? Samaria, and did what? Burned it. Destroyed it. Burned down their temple. See the hatred? Are you feeling it? Say. And so when this woman, now hang back with me. Come back to earth with me now. Here we go. So when this woman, 100 years later, is talking to Jesus, She's going to reference some of this stuff that we just put up on the screen. But do you see, she started out by saying, how is it that you talk to me? You don't have any dealings with us. It's deep, the hatred. Amen? Now let's keep looking. So are you feeling the love between the Jews and Samaritans? Say, no. So now let's watch it. Here we go. So let's look at a little bit more. So no Jew would go through Samaria. Look at that. Hang in here with me. No Jew would go through Samaria. No Jew had any dealings with Samaritans. None. No dealings whatsoever. But it was worse. Samaritans were publicly cursed in Jewish synagogues. Churches do that today. People get together on Sunday morning and get up behind pulpits and just spew hate on certain groups in America. Are you listening to me? Say. People that are sinning, people that aren't living right. Guys, there's enough sin in this room right here if I want to talk about sin just with you. Without having to bring somebody else what somebody else is doing out there. You understand? Yes or no? The church has made it popular. It started with the Jewish people. They made it popular to get up and make Sundays and Saturday Sabbaths a day of just being hateful. Are you listening or not? That's what they did. They would get up and they would say, you know, the Samaritans, you know, they're a piece of whatever, you know, and the crowd, yeah! You listening to me, yes or no? You want to get your congregation riled up, talk about the Samaritans, and oh my gosh, probably made the offerings go up too. You understand? That's what they did. Samaritans could not be called as a witness in any Jewish court. What did that mean? What's that mean? Here's a woman. Her husband's been murdered. Who saw the murderer? A Samaritan. Samaritan shows up to court and says, I know who did it. I saw him. And they would say, guess what? You're a Samaritan. Your word is no good. They would rather let a murderer walk the streets and believe your word. You feeling the hate? Yes or no? Jews taught that Samaritans could not be forgiven by God. They could not be forgiven by God. Can you see why the woman was shocked or not? Yes, crazy. Jews believed that a Samaritan's soul was damned forever. You have no hope, you're damned forever. Then came Jesus. Thank God for Jesus. Can we thank the Lord for Jesus? Come on, can we thank the Lord for Jesus? Come on. I'm glad my drunk mama sitting in front of a TV in 1977 watching Billy Graham. I'm glad Jesus came to the Clark house. Nobody else was coming. We're written off. Jesus came. Amen? The message today is turning trouble into opportunity. That's what Jesus did. That's what He did. And He saw it right there. Now, a lot of you, it doesn't matter how much you know your Bible, you can read it up, back, forth, left, and right. I guarantee if I'd have been having Bible trivia, I'd have whooped you on this one. The Jewish leaders even called Jesus a Samaritan. Yeah, I mean, I'm telling you, that this was the worst thing they could say about a human being, and they said it about our Savior. Look at this, John 8:48. Then answered the Jews and said unto Jesus, say we not well that you're a Samaritan, and you have a devil? That's a lot of hate. Are you feeling it? Say. I mean, they hated Jesus and they could do nothing more to show their hate than to call Him a Samaritan. So, but Jesus saw what? Through all this what? How many are lost? You're like, Clark, this is a weird message. You don't normally preach like this. Hang in here with me. Turning trouble into opportunity is what we're talking about today. Jesus went. Jews wouldn't do it. He did. Jews wouldn't have any dealings with Him. He did. So Jesus went and Jesus dealt because He saw opportunity in Samaria. He didn't see trouble. He saw potential and possibility. What do you see when you look at people? You don't like the way they look. You don't like the way they smell. Churches even now, we don't talk to certain ones in the church, you know, because they don't use the right Bible. We're so prejudice, it ain't even funny. Is that the truth, yes or no? You don't look a certain way. You don't have your hair a certain way. We've made it where people feel bad in churches in America if they don't have good clothes to wear. They just won't even come. Isn't that the stupidest thing on the planet? Yes or no? What I'm saying is, Jesus saw opportunity. When He looked at people, He never saw, oh, that guy's hopeless. He never saw that. He always saw opportunity. So Jesus went and Jesus dealt. Now, if you'll hang in here with me, I'm not going to preach this. I'm just going to read it to you because it's like a movie. Here we go. Let's go to the movies with Jesus. Jesus answered and said unto her, because she said, I can't believe you're talking to me. He answered and said unto her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that says to you, give me a drink, then you would have asked of him and he would have given you what? He said, ma'am, if you only knew who's talking to you right now. The woman said unto him, sir, you have nothing to draw with. The well is deep. From whence then are you going to give me this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob? See, there's a little history. Which gave us this well and drank thereof himself with his children and his cattle. Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinks of this water shall what? Thirst again. But whosoever drinks of the water that I shall give him shall what? Never thirst. But the water that I shall give him or her, by the way, shall be in him a well of water springing into everlasting what? Life. The woman said unto him, sir, then give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus said unto her, well, go call your husband and get him to come here. And the woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said, boy, that was the right answer, that you have no husband. Because you've had five husbands. And the one you're with now ain't your husband. So he read the mail. And he said, so you have answered truthfully. The woman said unto him, sir, say this with me. I perceive you're a what? Oh, yeah. And then she goes on to talking, a little more history. Our fathers worship in this what? Mount Gerizim. Remember the temple that was burned? And you say that Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Remember the northern kingdom split? Jesus said unto her, woman, believe me, the hour comes when you shall neither worship in this mountain nor at Jerusalem. Worship the Father. You worship you know not what. And he was right. He's saying to her, listen, your gobbledygook religion, you don't even know what you're worshiping up here. We know what we worship for salvation is of the Jews, and that is true. They're teaching the truth, that the Word came to the Jews, all that stuff. We can talk about that all day long. But Jesus just passed right over that. But the hour comes and now is when the what? True worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeks such to worship Him. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and truth. Don't go to sleep on me. The woman said unto him, I know that Messiah comes. She knew something, didn't she? A little bit. Which is called Christ. And when He's come, He's going to tell us all things. Jesus said unto her, say that with me, I that speak unto thee am. You're looking at Him. Pretty powerful story, isn't it? Where were the disciples? They were in a city called what? Sychar. And they were buying what? Yeah, victuals, meat. And upon this came His disciples. And marveled that He talked with the who? They couldn't believe it. Look who He's talking to! Yet no disciple said, what seekest thou, Jesus? Or why are you talking to her? Not one of them said that. You know why they didn't say it? Let me tell you why. Because He would have popped them right square in the mouth. Now, I know Jesus doesn't do that. No, you're crazy. No, He had an air about Him that you definitely kept your mouth shut. Especially if you're prejudiced and full of yourself. I guarantee it, that's exactly why they didn't say anything. You know what I'm saying? Jesus is made out to be weak and mamby-pamby. That is all bull. Bull, bull, bull. Jesus looked at trouble and went square at it, straight at it. He saw opportunity. And so here's the point. They didn't say anything to Him. But they said it with their body language. They didn't have to say anything. And the woman left her water pot and went her way in the city. You ever been talking to somebody? You ever been somewhere and some other folk came up and you knew you weren't welcome? And you left? You ever been in a situation like that? Well, somebody's looking down, you just feeling like you're not good enough? You know how that feels? Say. And so she left. She didn't leave Jesus. She left the disciples. You listening or not? So she went to the city herself, and she said to the men, "Come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Messiah? Is not this the Christ?" Then they went out of the city. The city came out to see Jesus. Now listen, back it up. Who went to the city to buy meat? The disciples. Not one time, when they had the grocery store, did they tell anybody about Jesus. Not one time did they say, "Hey, just outside the city is a man that changed my life. I was in Galilee, and I started following him. He saved me." Not one of them. Because they looked at Samaritans as what? Trouble. They didn't say anything. Not one of them said to maybe some mama that had a lame child, "The Lamb of God is right outside of town. I've watched him heal kids just like yours. Come, we won't even buy anything. We don't need the meat. Come on, let's go. Come on, come on, come on. He's right out here. Come on, bring your kids, bring your family. Let's go. Right outside of here is Jesus." Not one of his disciples invited anybody. Because the Samaritans were what? Trouble. You listening or not? This is a good message for us today before we go to our new building. You hearing me? Now the woman went and she told her city. What woman? A woman had known him 5 minutes. A woman had been in 10 minutes, 20. I don't know how long she'd been there with him. Not long. She went and told her city. And she said, "Come and see Jesus." And guess what? The disciples were in the same city. They never told anybody to come and see Jesus. Keep looking. They saw the trouble and didn't see the what? Just making the case again. She saw the opportunity and didn't want her what? Do you see people as trouble? Or do you see people as an opportunity for somebody to not go to hell? There's a daddy over there that could be a better daddy than he's ever thought about being. There's a mama when you look at her with those kids and struggling with them. Do you see that mama as somebody that Jesus loves and wants to help? Do you see them as trouble? Guys, we do. We talk about them. We're at restaurants. "I can't believe it. Shut the kid up." I'm like you. I feel the same thing inside of me. What do you see when you look at people? Trouble. Or opportunities. Are you hearing today or not? Pretty tough message on us. It's good for us. Good. In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him. That just means they were trying to talk to Jesus and encourage him a little bit. And they said, because he's probably looking a little puny, a little peaked. He'd been out in the sun talking. You know how you talk sometimes, don't get a chance to drink your water and get to eat. That's what he's been doing. And he's looking a little, and they said, "Master, eat." And he said unto them, say that with me, "I have meat to eat that you don't know a thing about." What was he saying? See, well, they didn't know. Here's what I think they thought. I think they looked at each other and they went, "Is he going crazy?
I mean, he's the one that told us to go to town. Is he holding back on us? Did he have a sandwich in his jacket or something? What's he talking about? He ate something. But they don't say anything because they know he's going to choke them.
I know you have a different image of Jesus after leaving Fellowship Church. Listen, come on. Therefore said the disciples one to another, has anybody brought him anything to eat? See, they are acting like a little crazy with him here. Jesus said unto them, say that with me, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Boys, I have been eating. While you were in town getting meat, which don't matter a hill of beans to nobody, instead of giving them the bread of life and telling them I'm outside of town. I've been out here outside of town without any meat like you went to get, but I've been eating some good meat out here. Because talking to people and caring for people is better than the finest steak you'll ever have. You understand? Loving people. I love ice cream. It's hard for me to say it, but loving people is better than ice cream. It's hard for me. All ice cream. Don't even push me on it, please. Listen, just hang in here with me. One of the greatest verses in the Bible, guys, one of the greatest verses in the Bible. Churches use it all the time, trying to get people to come to church. They try to motivate their members, whatever. Where was this verse? It's right here, but it's after this story, guys. Say ye not, there are yet 4 months, then comes the harvest. He's talking to his disciples. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes. Look on the fields. They're already white to harvest. What were you thinking? You were right there with the people, and you did nothing. Nothing. You didn't see them at all. All you saw was the trouble. You feeling it? The Samaritans were eager to hear about Jesus. Did you know most people that feel hated and unloved don't want to keep feeling hated and unloved? Most people that think the church doesn't care about them or they're better than me, most people would love to hear, we're not and we love you and we care for you. You listening or not? They were eager. They were eager to hear. But the disciples were doing what? They were looking down. I'm not saying they went there and cussed them out, said mean things to the Samaritans. I'm not saying that. But they had a downward look about them. And they certainly didn't open their mouth. And I'm sure their body language would have pushed any of them away anyway. Listening? So they were looking down instead of doing what? What'd Jesus say? Lift up your what? And look on the fields. They're white to harvest. They're ready, man. We'll finish. Jesus went on to talk to them. He that reaps receives wages and gathers fruit unto life eternal, that both he that sows and he that reaps may do what? Rejoice together. And herein is the saying true. One sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap. I sent you to reap. Where you had never worked. I sent you to a town where you had never even gone. You hadn't even done anything. But other men had labored there. God had been working there. You know, when we look down on people, we don't know what God's been doing in their life. You understand or not? And you're entered into their labors. Keep looking. And many of the Samaritans of the city believed on him. Now watch this carefully. Don't nod off here. Here we go. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the who? Did it say for the saying of the disciples? Wouldn't it? You'd think it would be the disciples that would be winning people to Jesus, yes or no? Or the woman who had been married 5 times and living with the 6th. The city came because of the saying of the woman, which testified. Can you say testified? One more time. If you don't have a testimony, get one. You ought to be able to tell somebody how you came to Christ. But I've just always been. Well, you need to relook at that thing. Nail it down. Nail it down. Nail it down. You might say, well, I was a kid. Well, good. Nail it down that you've grown. You understand? Have something that you can talk to people and relate to people about. This world out there is hurting. They're in a mess. It'd be nice if you could talk out of your life a real language other than just church talk. You know what I'm saying? Be able to talk to them a little bit, man. This woman, the whole city came because she said, I met a man that told me everything I did. And it wasn't pretty. So when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and Jesus stayed with them 2 more days. And many more did what? Because of whose word? Jesus' word. Did it say disciples' word? No. Now, most of you are going to be just like me. You've never looked at this passage like this. You've read it a ton of times, and you never, ever saw the disciples, because I didn't. And at the end of the day, what good are you for the kingdom of God if you go places and never open your mouth for Him? That's tough talk today. Hello? Amen? Say. It is true. Verse 42, and said unto the woman, the city folk said, now we what? Now we believe. Now we believe. Won't it be great? Come on. We have an opportunity to go into a new campus next week. We've never had a church home. That's it. This has been the high school. We've been like, you know, pilgrims and strangers, tent people, trailer people. We come in on weekends, unload a trailer, then we leave. Won't it be great to hear people, hopefully sooner than later, go, now we believe! Now we believe! You saw, you came, you were out here. Now we believe! Now we believe! Won't it be great to hear one day say, I'd love to be able to have a large crowd, and they go, now we believe, Pastor! Now we believe! Thank you for doing this debt-free church. Thank you. Now we believe! Thank you for not quitting! Amen. Say. Yeah, praise the Lord. Somebody got to. I'm about to have a stroke. I'm going on a little bit, but I'm going to quit here shortly. For we have, now listen, it says, and said to the woman, now we believe, not because of your saying, for we've heard Him ourselves and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. People whose word wouldn't even stand up in court. People who could never be forgiven. People who didn't even have a soul. Said, now we believe. Wow. That's pretty powerful, isn't it? We're done with the message as we roll here, Raj. Just an invitation from the woman who met Jesus and they came. See double instead of, Pastor, I can't wear no t-shirt. I can't give no card. That's bull. You know. It's because you see it's a little too much trouble. I ask you, lift up your eyes, look on the fields. Not just this week, but maybe after this message for the rest of your life. When you go to the grocery store and go places, start seeing people instead of the stuff on the shelf. You listening to me? When you go into the restaurant and say, just getting a meal, why don't you take your head and look around? Your neighbor might be in there. You understand? Yes or no? Go to Walmart, put your fellowship shirt on. Stay an extra few minutes. Might have an opportunity. I'm not saying I'm going to get there and preach a gospel. No, I'm just talking about, how about love people? Say that with me. Love people. And then we're done. He gave some scripture there and some thoughts, talk about sowing and reaping and all that stuff. And see, we see trouble because we don't see the spiritual thing that's going on. We see the natural, which is normal. That's good. We see it. God could be working and is working. You mean he works at the Publix? Sure he does. Did you know there was a lady that lost her husband? She was devastated. She was at Publix. She saw someone with a fellowship shirt on. She was broken. They invited her to come to one of our dinners on the ground like we would do. She came. She was so distraught over the loss of her husband. And he loved singing good old gospel songs. And she was beating herself up because there was one song that they didn't sing at his funeral. And you might think that's silly. It wasn't silly to her. She came to our church. And what was the song that we sang out there on the property? She said, "You sang I'll Fly Away." And that ministered. That sounds so silly. It's not silly. That lady, by the way, is the director of the Center for Abuse and Rape Emergencies in all of Charlotte County. And comes to our church now every Sunday as she's ministering to these broken women. We got to minister to her. You see how that works? Because somebody had to say something to get her to come to hear the song to put her in this place where she is with us. Isn't that a goofy thing? It is God. We don't realize what's been happening in somebody's heart. We don't realize what things are working together to open their heart for Jesus Christ. We don't realize how much praying, how much sowing and working has already gone into somebody's life. We don't know that person at Publix that you see or the market or in your neighborhood. You don't know there's a grandmama in Michigan that's every single morning praying for that person, but you don't know that. Or a mama that's been praying. Or they've just gone through a horrible divorce. Or something terrible. They lost a child. You don't know. You don't know. Well, I can't. I can't because you see trouble. You're not seeing double. You're not seeing opportunity. Are you hearing me now? We don't know how much has already gone into somebody's life. And now God wants to use who? To reap a what? Harvest. If anybody struggles at this, it's me. I don't struggle at talking to people. Not a problem. I struggle with seeing how God can use me. And I struggle with, you know, the harvest. You know, probably not many will show up. That's how I struggle. Because I'm wrong. I need to listen to the Word today, right? Say. So this ain't just for you guys. This is me. It was in my office beating the snot out of me. People need the love of who? And people need your love. No, people will reject you shoving stuff down their throat. And they should. People will reject you trying to get into their business and trying to act like you're better than them, and they should. But I still believe people won't reject your love. If you keep being kind enough, long enough, you're going to see a harvest. You agree with that? I just got this little house, and I got hush, Raj. I just got this little house. Kim and I are going to move back. We live right there at McCall. You know, a lot of you know where we live. We used to have a beautiful home on the water, sold and all that stuff. We're a little old, two crack houses we fixed up. Lisa and Mitch live in one, and Kim and me and the little girls live in the other one. And we like it, and I can keep my junk and everything there, and nobody fusses at me. And I like fixing things. Well, I just bought a little house, Kim and I, down in the old town. We already live in the old town, but I'm talking about right off of Dearborn Street. Not on the water, but it's across from the water. And they got two docks that they just built on Cherokee that I don't own them, but I may as well. They're right out back. They're right over there. So my taxes are a lot lower. Thank you, city. Amen. Here's the point. There's a lady next door. Everybody calls her crazy. And she hardly ever see her. Well, I want to reach her for the Lord. And usually there's no communication, none. But today when I left the house, she waved at me. Just a little. That is, I mean, to most people, you go, she waved at you, she never waved at anybody. And it made me so happy when I left the house today. Amen? Does she matter? She matters. God loves her. Why do I have to see what other people say? Why can't I see what Jesus sees? Amen? And God can use me. Without vision, people do what? If you keep your regular vision and not double vision, you only see trouble. You're going to miss the opportunity, and you're not going to see people. So I'm done with the message. It was a great talk for us our last Sunday here at Fellowship Church. Amen? Come on. It was good for us. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord.